Bell yes, love is begging door to door, but finds the silence like
live from the 34th International Pog Flipping Championships in Saskatchewan, Canada. It's the Side Quest, episode 403. SideQuesting.com's sometimes, usually weekly, video game escapades podcast. I am Dally Domofsky, one of your luscious, wonderful, happy hosts. Joining me as usual, Eric Smith.
I just recalled that last week I totally forgot to make a Robert Bowling goof.
Steven Strom.
Hey, Dally, I'm fighting mad and I'm ready to rant.
And Michael Bachman.
Is it the Pog Flipping Championships or the Flipping Pog Championships?
And your host, Michael Bachman, with musical act Michael Bachman. That's my Saturday Night Live narrated. The
yeah, you're just as funny.
The best part is when all three Michael Bachmans make out.
That is totally the best.
I'd watch that.
That Welcome. Would be possible with Happy Action Theater. Just saying.
Yes. Hello, gentlemen.
Saturday TV Funhouse, am I right?
Hey. Get it?
No.
Get it?
Not really.
We know you don't get it. We saw your tweets the other day. Eric,
sorry, Dahlia. Wait, Eric, did you see that? That was all the momentum from the show just flying out the window.
thanks, Steven. Thanks for making us run into a fucking brick wall.
Oh, look at that. Steven fell off the call.
As usual. Well, welcome, guys.
What happened there, Steven?
Episode 403.
I couldn't tell you.
This happens a lot. It's going to be a great show today, guys. We have we are doing the regular podcasting now, so we're almost regular. We've been eating our video game fiber, and we're regular Joes. We got quite a bit of stuff to talk about today, mostly what we've been playing and news. But I just want to go around the table and just say hi to everybody. Hi. How's it going?
Hey. Oh, that's nice.
Yes.
Oh, man. Sure. Dally, that's so nice of you.
Yeah. I'm shaking your hand, Steven. Shaking your hand, sugar. Mike.
And that's not my hand.
Damn it. I was going to make that scene.
I know.
I'm fist bumping Eric.
What is that, a flipper? I don't. Oh.
Actually, Dally, that's not my hand. That's my butthole.
Yeah, see, I knew you say the word butthole.
He's a convex.
Every fucking podcast.
How do you make that mistake?
Yeah. Well, like I said, it's easier with Eric than most people because he does have a convex butthole.
He is an outie butthole.
Yep.
Is that a sock? What is
that? That looks like a pink stocking.
God.
In other news, dick butt jokes.
That is all of our news for tonight, actually.
That's all of our news. So let's get into what we've been playing. Actually, you guys have all fully recovered from PAX. I take it.
Mostly.
It was a great time. Mostly.
I might be turning to stone. I'm just saying that one of those women I got rejected by at the bar might have been a Gorgon.
Gorgon. You say everything with such a sweet Swedish or Norwegian accent.
He's from Dakota.
Oh yeah, you betcha. Talk.
Oh, you betcha.
He's from funny. Normal Dakota.
Oh, you guys want some hot dish?
What?
Hot dish?
You know what's funny is I can't tell if that's a Swedish accent or a North Dakotan accent. They're probably pretty
that's not
similar.
No, it's Minnesota's really bad, but North Dakota's pretty normal. We got that Montana heat. Protecting us.
The heat bubbling
I would
up.
Have liked to have seen Montana.
Wouldn't we have
I'm
all
right October, everybody.
One. Okay.
What's up, Eric? Dally?
Well, I'm sick. I don't have the PAX pox, but...
sound like...
I have the post-PAX pox in that being...
I think
up.
We called our podcast that last year.
Getting back to Detroit, the weather's been up and down over here like crazy over the last week, and so it just fucked up my biochemistry, which was a class I also took in high school, biochemistry. And it went all out of whack, and Yeah, I think my body just didn't like that. So I've been sick for 7 days straight now.
Great.
And I'm super mucusy today, so.
Oh, that's the
hacking and wheezing. Yeah, it's like
I feel so much better now that you've told me that.
It's like donut jelly coming out of my nose.
It's okay. I just mute his entire track like all the time.
Okay. And don't worry about it because we're going to use my track again as usual because you're going to forget to record.
Actually, I'm recording right now. I made sure after having to use yours last week.
So listeners, right now you can't hear Eric or Dally because we're using my track, and it's just going to be me and Mike Bachman talking about Tribes all episodes. So
Just Tribes.
So quick check on Tribes. How much money you guys spent on it?
$10.
Only 10?
$0.
I'm not a weak fool.
I'm up to 20 because I wanted to support them.
Have some self-respect.
So game of the year. Game of the year is what we're saying.
How dare I actually give money to a good goddamn game?
It is a really good game, though, right?
Yeah.
Well, oh, it's so good.
After we saw it at PAX, everybody was really hyped up about it. I mean, we knew Tribes Ascend was coming. Everybody knew that that game was nearing release.
A lot of people are
the fastest first-person shooter in America. It got here really fast.
Yeah. And, yes, it got out of beta, blah, 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 blah. And, everybody's been on that jam. I've never played a Tribes game. I don't even know what they are until I read that wonderful preview that you put together for the website.
Who did? Who was that?
The guy.
I think that was Steven. Mike.
No.
Mm.
No.
No, no, it wasn't me.
It was Mike Bachman that did the preview.
Was it me? I don't remember doing that.
You didn't write anything, Eric.
Yeah,
I wrote a thing.
Don't make any more jokes for the rest of the episode because that's the best one. let's just make that one over and over and over again.
So I'll just keep talking over him like normal.
Well, let's get on to what we've been playing, since that seems like a natural segue. Who wants?
It
to
is
first?
Until you say that.
Who wants?
Stop it.
Just fuck you,
let's segue to the next topic. If you
and by that I mean ride an actual segue.
I was about
into
to
the
say
next topic.
What we can't see is that Dally is riding on a segue with a headset, peeing into a beer bottle right now, on his way to the bathroom to go dump it off.
It's a 40 because he had to go real bad.
Or a 28-ounce bottle of NOS or whatever the hell you used.
What the hell is wrong? what have you been playing, Steven?
Oh God!
Since you're the
mouthy
one
stuff
today,
yeah, I feel like talking. What's up? I've been playing. More Eve Online, which I won't talk about. I've been playing Tribes Ascend. We can all talk about. What's that?
What's Tribes?
It's this like sort of weird meta game where you see who can get the most tribal tattoos on their biceps, and then you
so
can
this game is like super racist. You
right.
pretend you're an Indian.
No, it's more like some unnamed African lost country kind of thing, Nova. Sure, why not Nova?
I think you're thinking of National Geographic.
National Geographic? Doesn't Nova talk about like everything?
They talk about like spaceship mostly.
I've never seen Nova.
What? You're the worst person in the world.
Watch much TV. I play a lot of video games like Tribes Ascend, which I think we've all been playing a little bit. I haven't played very much, and which is probably why I haven't spent any money on it whatsoever because I haven't gotten that deep into it. But I'm starting to feel that pain of not having that 50% XP bonus. So,
right, that's what I'm saying. Do it early. I mean, don't hem and haw because you know you're going to do it eventually. So you might as well do it and get all that XP up until that point.
Yeah, and make sure you go around to the various places and get your free gold.
Right, like Facebook?
Facebook and somewhere else I got it from.
There was a they were handing out cards at PAX.
Yeah, that too.
Like Tyler Cole,
is there another place?
I think I got like 700 free gold in total.
You need to tell me where that is.
I'll look after the show. It's not really pertinent conversation right now.
What's the exchange rate on real money to fake gold?
$10 for 750
gold. 750
gold?
And that's all that you need to spend to get the 50% bonus?
Yep.
Right. You make one gold purchase and you're VIP, quote unquote, for the rest of the account.
Right, right. So should we maybe tell people what Tribes is if they haven't played it? Like,
well, we kind of talked about this last week.
We did, but why don't
it's
you
It's a game
quick...
where you ski and shoot dudes.
Well, I'm sorry, Eric. Awesome. I didn't think we maybe had new listeners.
That's all you need to know. Yeah, new listeners. All we do is lose them.
Yeah. You also have jetpacks.
every listener,
yeah. So
every listener we lose, fistful of pixels gains.
Oh yeah.
So they're up
I'm gonna start throwing the match, so to speak.
So you should. You should start referring to your listeners as pixels, so you're catching them in your fist, right? That's like a metaphor.
Fisting no, that'd pixels. Be yeah, fisting the.
Well,
pixel.
Russ wanted it to be called fisting pixels, and I told him no, sir.
Right, cowboy. Yeah, no, but yeah, right. It took a minute, but it sunk in. So I've been playing some Tribes, been playing some Fez, been playing some Asura's Wrath, and been playing some Legend of Grimlock. Anybody interested in any of that?
I am. All of them, actually.
All of them?
Except for EVE Online, because I'll fall asleep.
I said I skipped EVE Online. You don't need to beat a dead horse, Dally. It has been sacrificed.
Isn't it Legend of Grimrock?
Yeah, Grimlock is the Transformer.
I didn't put that L there. That's not me.
Okay.
As he quickly changes it in the Google Doc.
What are you talking about? So Legend of Grimlock is a prehistoric. Legend of Grimlock is a prehistoric robot dinosaur simulator. And Legend of Grimrock is a tile-based first-person dungeon crawler in the vein of something like Wizardry or some stuff like that from the olden days.
Like Daggerfall or...
Daggerfall, yeah, like was Daggerfall tile based?
Well, technically, I mean, it's still first person, but it was still. I don't know.
Daggerfall was Elder Scrolls 2. Daggerfall.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Yeah,
it's not really.
It sort of is though.
But like, by tile based, I mean like you press the W key and your character moves forward one tile, uh-huh. And you press this S key and your character moves backwards one tile.
Right,
and,
or he could turn left or turn right.
Right, that sort of thing. So it is, yeah, it is super old school in that respect. You haven't seen, I can't think of a single game that of this type that has been released in like 20 years.
Yeah, because I think technology has surpassed that.
Right, exactly. It was like a technical. It was not the reason that people made games like that was not because they
wanted to.
It was because they had no choice because of the technology at the time.
Have you seen our game? You played on Steam Punch paper cards.
It's actually a pop-up book. What's going on?
You know what's interesting? It'll be good to we should look at doing a feature about gaming tropes that have since then faded away because of technology improving. I mean,
I think we already wrote it. You can find it at oldmanmurray.com.
God damn, Eric. God damn you.
I don't know what that is.
Go back to shake the butthole.
Steven, I'm going to kill you so many goddamn times today.
So Grimrock.
Legend of Grimrock, yeah. So it's pretty interesting. It's like $15 normal. So if you have a weird stigma against games like, oh, that's old-timey game. Like, it's maybe worth trying because it's only $15. And it's also like on sale now, I think, on Steam for like $13.50 or something like that. You can also get it on GOG. But it's super interesting. It's I don't know what else to say about it other than it is a tile-based game. It's like literally you have four characters that you put into a party that you build at the beginning of the game, or you either that or you can just take some default characters, and they're like prisoners that have been chucked into this giant mountain prison. They were all accused of crimes that they may or may not have committed, hint, hint. And they are trying to test themselves like trial by fire by trying to go through this like giant dungeon, get to the bottom of this mountain called Grimrock, and traverse through it. But as you push along, you kind of discover like this greater story going along, because like I rested at one point, and which like heals your mana and health and stuff like that. But then suddenly like this weird... first-person cutscene of like gears grinding in the distance showed up, and like some weird ancient voice was like talking to me through text and stuff like that, through some sort of dream. So there's something deeper going on than just what you see at the beginning. But it's kind of interesting. It's like it is like all those old games. And if you liked all those old games, you should definitely check it out. Even if you are just kind of interested in it as like a historical piece, but bearing that in mind, it is also worth mentioning that it also takes with it like all of the like weird difficulty spikes and insane like the game's hard, basically, is what I'm trying to get at.
So, is this game out on iPad?
No, it is. It probably wouldn't run on an iPad, I wouldn't say.
I don't know. Like the new iPad probably would, right?
I don't know. It looks really. It actually looks really good. If you see it running in person, it looks pretty hot. You see that? You see an ogre coming at you. It looks pretty good.
Looks good to me.
Get that ogre. Got to get that ogre pussy.
I'm deleting that. What is wrong with you?
Delete it, but save it for my personal collection.
that's going in Mike's spank bank.
That's a spank bank. So Legend of Rock. All right.
Yeah, it's tough. But like I said, it's weird because like there is some stuff in there where you like I literally almost have to pull out a pen and paper to write down some of the stuff. Like you can't just cast spells whenever you want. You have to like memorize like patterns that you have to type into an interface and then hit the cast button. So like, yeah, it's some obtuse stuff like that. But so yeah, that's great. Legend of Grimrock.
So apparently Legend of Grimrock is coming to iPad.
Is it?
Yes.
I got to imagine they would have to downscale the graphics a little bit because it looks pretty good. Especially for like a $15 indie game. This is like Almost Human's first game, and they already like tripled their investment on the game like less than a week after it came out. So it's selling pretty well, I guess.
What are the visuals like in that? I mean, does it have that classic, you know, 8-bit, 16-bit style? Or?
No, it's all 3D ass. Okay. Like if you didn't see it in motion, you wouldn't know that. If you didn't see it in motion, you wouldn't know that this is like tile based and stuff like that. It looks like almost like a Skyrim or maybe close to Oblivion, I guess. But probably better than Oblivion.
Yeah, it's probably about Oblivion.
Oblivion
with a couple of mods.
I don't know. It's tough when there's no. Because as far as I know,
it looks like a 5-year-old game, but in a good way.
I don't know. Maybe. Cool. I think it looks better than the way Eric is describing it. But
it's got a lot of jaggies in it.
Not on my TV. I
think your eyes are closed. Anyways, what else are you playing?
Oh, yeah, what else you got?
I got Asura's Wrath.
Asura's Wrath. I've heard some good, many good things about this, actually.
Me too, but none of it comes in what you play.
Yeah, that's probably true. I mean, gameplay-wise, it is probably like sub God of War. I mean, I guess not even sub God of War, more like sub... I don't know, like what's a brawler? People don't really make brawlers that anymore that I can think of that are good. But it's not tough. It's like hitting the B button a lot and then holding the B button down sometimes and then holding the X button down sometimes. There's not a lot to the gameplay, but it is so insane. It's so great. I think I'm like on the last chapter right now, so I haven't seen the ending yet. But
the last chapter or the last chapter before the DLC?
Yeah, I don't know exactly
the last chapter.
Yeah, so that's the bullshit thing that comes up with this. I haven't gotten to the very ending yet, so I don't know how intrusive it is. But apparently, like they are selling the ending of this game on DLC, and it's not out yet because I bought all the DLC that is available for this game like immediately after playing it for the first time. So, but it's so good. Like it is dudes flying through the sky, shooting beams of anger out of their six arms.
I've had that dream.
That wet dream. And it is also like Space Harrier towards the end, where you're blowing up like spaceships in space piloted by gods who are growing to the size of Jupiter, and then I punched a god in the finger so hard that he exploded into a supernova at one point.
I punched a god in the finger.
Mm-hmm. You know, his finger was like the size of a continent, so I punched it with my one arm, and then my arms disintegrated, and then I fought with my legs, and then I killed a man by catching a sword in my teeth and cutting him with it because I had no arms, and then I got imprisoned in stone for 500 years, and then just like I sort of died twice.
Spoilers.
In that game so far. Like I don't if you yeah, there's spoilers, but like it doesn't matter because once you see all this stuff, there is so much going on in that game that even everything I've just said is like fucking just minutia at this point. Like, there's, I can't even tell what's going on in that game anymore. And
also, best ways to skip cutscenes ever.
Yeah, so when you get into a cutscene and like a bad guy will be going on his long drawn out soliloquy like bad guys do, there'll just be a prompt in the top left corner that just like press B to shut him up, and it'll just end the cutscene and with a sort of punching him in the face like really hard, and there's achievements for every single one of them. So and every achievement is just shut up and then the name of that guy. So it's just shut up Weissen, shut up Deus. It's just really fun. Like it, I think Jim Sterling described it as like the best thing that's happened to anime that's not an anime, or like the best thing to happen to anime in like 20 years if it had been an anime or something like that. But yeah, the video game-y parts of it are not spectacular, but they are also not poor. So like if you can get by the fact that that a lot of it is QuickTime events and just enjoy it for what it is, it's pretty fantastic. And it is fantastic, and it is meta, and it is Japanese as shit. I can't believe this game was not made by Platinum, basically. So that's a Asura's Wrath.
Like it was made by Platinum.
Yeah.
It's not really funny. It's just a sad truth. Yeah, did it sell like 30,000 copies?
Like, if that.
That's a shame.
But it sounded like Capcom wasn't disappointed with that either. Like they didn't.
Yeah, and Sony wasn't disappointed by 500,000 Vita sales either.
Yeah.
Well, like their quote was like literally saying like somebody was like, well, are you guys upset about selling only 30,000 copies of Asura's Wrath? And like the guy says, how many copies did you think we thought we were going to sell?
Six.
Yeah. Like it's like NIS
37.
Like, NIS does like sells games that don't sell very well, but they just do really limited runs of those games so they can make their money back. I think that's kind of what they did with Asura's Wrath, because I actually had kind of trouble finding it in stores when I bought it. I had to eventually
the
go to
Mad like, World Effect.
Mad World Effect. Yeah.
Sold like shit. And nobody could find it anywhere, like ever.
Right.
It's everywhere now, though.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, because everyone returned it, they're like, "Yeah, we don't need this."
No, it's like Mad World. Mad World's a good game. I like Mad World.
Yeah, okay. I
like
Mad World.
I don't like it much. Yeah, it's.
You're just if it had been on the PS3.
Yeah.
Okay. If it had been on the PS3, I would have liked it a lot.
So, it's no Call of Duty, right, guys?
Before we go any further, Eric made a pact at PAX East that he was going to stay positive. That's it. We're
stay positive.
No, on Twitter attorney. Only.
And you
that was the only
it.
Agreement.
just moments ago on Twitter, you were being.
That was me talking about how terrible of a game Eve is, and Steven should feel bad for liking it.
So that's not positive. That's positive.
No, that's an opinion everyone should have. This should be the status quo. Okay, I'm gonna read the games I've been playing.
Wait, Fez.
No, I want to read these games. Go ahead, Fez.
Then you can read the games you've been playing.
I want to play Fez before you even get started. It looks so awesome.
Is this... Nobody's played Fez in here?
No.
I have not.
I haven't had a chance yet.
So, okay, other than Tribes, the only game that any of you guys have played that I have also played is... That's it. I guess that's just it.
Yeah.
This is it's really hard to talk about games when there's nobody to talk about
them. That's why we want to hear, because we didn't play it. That's why it's good to talk about
Tell us. Fez, it's been in development for three... It's been in development since like 1979, I'm pretty sure. So,
yeah. This is before your parents are conceived, actually.
Mm-hmm, right. The game is actually where the hats get their name. It's from this game, Fez.
That's good.
And so, yeah, Fez is not what I was expecting at all.
Seems to be the common sentiment.
Is it?
Yeah.
I was kind of expecting like an indie platformer with a weird sort of hook to it, and that would probably get really, really fucking hard and crawl up its own ass at the end of it. But it is not like that at all. Like the one game that I keep comparing it to as I'm playing it is like Super Brothers Sword and Sorcery EP, which for the iPad, which just came out on PC this week, where it's just like this weird sort of mix of ironic comedy with jokes about string theory and like an XKCD comic without a plot. That it's so
like
weird.
An XKCD comic.
Yeah, I guess, but like without real characters or anything in it. But there are characters that talk to each other. But
you have Gomez. Come on, he's a character.
But he doesn't say anything. Like, he's just a dude with a fez. He's a little white dude.
Racist.
Yeah, I knew you were going to say that as I said it. So the whole thing about it is that, like, you are in a world where you have gotten a magical cosmic fez that allows you this 2D character, this 2D sprite in this pixelated world to notice that there is a third dimension beyond width and length. And there's this weird sort of, you're in this village and like there's this weird sort of stigma against three dimensional shapes. Like everybody, it's almost like borderline, it gets kind of creepy actually, because it's almost like borderline Nazism against three dimensional shapes, calling cubes devil squares and stuff like that. And so it's like this weird, but everybody's talking in like these over the top cutesy dummy sounding like Mino like kind of voices. So it's also kind of funny, I guess. And yeah, and you're tracking down other cubes to try and fix the universe, which is like falling apart because of something called like the hexahedron or the polyhedron or something like that, which is a four dimensional cube. Or
this
in the game
sounds, it almost sounds like an episode of Doctor Who.
One of the weirder, like more child inspired episodes of Doctor Who with less plot, because like the way that things go along, like it is super stream of consciousness. So it is never, there is never like there is the primary objective of you have to find these cubes to open these doors to find the hexahedron or the polyhedron or whatever it was called.
Hexahedron.
Yes. Okay. And fix the universe, because like black holes are tearing up open in the universe, and things are like being sucked in like the nothing from Neverending Story. And but beyond that, there's like no sort of connective tissue between any of that stuff, other than like a little navvy guy who seems to be the only person in the universe who can talk normally to you, but named like Pixel or Bit, or you know, it looks like Bit from Tron, I guess. Yeah, and I guess later on it gets even more meta and weird. Like right now, I'm in a part of the game where it says you have to collect 32 cubes to to end the game and save the universe or that sort of thing. But I have since heard that like that is like a lie, and that like the New Game Plus of this game requires you to get more stuff, and that the New Game Plus is not actually New Game Plus, but the game ends, and then there is another game, and then another game after that, like Ghosts and Goblins style, where everything turned out to be a dream, and like you play the real game after you play the game. It's messed up, but it's also pretty fun. I've heard a lot of people talking about like frame rate issues, which I have not run into, but I've had kind of some like not freezing, but like stuttering, like where it will stop for like a second as I'm entering a door and then reintegrate again. So that's kind of a bummer. For a game that's been in development for so long.
But it was one dude developing it basically the entire time, wasn't it?
Yeah, Phil Fish.
Yeah.
Fucking prominent, Phil Fish. Preeminent racist Phil Fish.
Jeez.
No, he's not racist. At least I don't think. I don't know the man personally. Yeah, it was one dude developing.
But he could be. But he could be.
Swearing, I hate Japanese people shirt.
Did he? What, really?
Yeah, dude, of course.
I thought that's it was totally maybe ironic. After playing Fez, I would believe anything you told me about this man. You could tell me he was blue.
Do you really
he was a member of the Blue Man Group.
Do you think the internet at large or the world at large would get that joke?
I like to.
You know they would
live in a universe.
You know
where that.
I get
impossible.
It.
Yeah, I get it. That's got to die.
Got to get your Phil Fish wet.
Yeah, so Fez, yeah. There's,
and awkward.
I don't think I'm far enough into Fez to really comprehend it, but even if I was farther in, it sounds like I wouldn't comprehend it still. But yeah, you should maybe try out Fez. It's pretty cool. And also, while you're at it, play Super Brother Sword and Sorcery EP, because it is a hell of a lot like Fez, and I kind of, and it is out on PC now for like $6 on Steam. So check that out too.
You know what's really kind of interesting is maybe it's not so interesting anymore, but the 8-bitification of indie games, where everything needs to look like it's either 8-bit or 16-bit. Like, literally every indie game out there now looks like it was made for
Big
the
Adventure.
Commodore's. Yeah, like it was made for the Commodore 64 or the Super NES or something.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of what game
only game that really looks like it was made for the Commodore is VVVVVVV.
Yeah,
yeah,
but everything else is.
What was the game that started that? Do you think? Like, I feel like there was
all of the games.
No, I mean, like, there had to be like an XBLA game.
No, like as soon as XNA came out, which makes blocking and 16-bit styling a whole lot easier. That's when it happened.
No, I think it was before your time. And I'm not even kidding. This is when RPG Maker for the PC was released, and everything was made in like 8-bit and 16-bit graphics because that stuff stayed popular up until the mid 2000s.
But RPG Maker was
I was alive in the 90s, Dally. So that was not necessarily before
my time. RPG Maker 1 was 1994 though.
93 or 94. Yeah, then RPG Maker 95 was the one that.
Yeah, still alive. Still alive at that time.
Yeah. You mean you still alive? So you died soon after that.
Those heady days. Godzilla was bursting up through theaters, just setting the world on fire. I don't know.
Okay.
I thought RPG Maker.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, I don't.
I'm rewriting history to make Godzilla the best reviewed movie in history. I'm gonna use my fez.
I think it started with that because that development tool stayed around for a while, and development tool like really easy development tools like the tile styled or the tile development tools were around all throughout like the late.
But none of those games were ever mainstream.
But that's the spirit.
Relative mainstream,
but that's,
I guess,
that's the spirit of indie, I'd say, right? Wouldn't it be?
Where do we think Mega Man 9 fits into all this? Because I feel like Mega Man 9 was a big part of this.
Yeah, Mega Man 9 was, yep.
I think that was more reactionary than anything.
Mm.
Yep.
I think it was reactionary, but I think it was reactionary to nobody liking Mega Man games anymore at that point.
And guess what? Guess what? Nobody likes Mega Man games anymore.
Hey, I'm still holding out for a new Mega Man X game. And
100,000 strong.
Not a Command Mission sequel either.
From Mega Man Legends 3, guys, it's gonna happen. Just wait.
You know what? 100,000 isn't enough to make enough sales for.
Of course, it's not. That's the goof. The Facebook page, which I liked because.
Capcom kickstarts it.
Well, no, they'll make another Mega Man game. I'm sure, right? They're taking a break, like Guitar Hero. But no, also those demakes were really popular, right? The Halo demake in 8-bit,
the Halo was 2600.
Yeah, but yeah, exactly. But they made those. People made those, and so they were really popular. So
that was way after this had started.
That Halo game has only had like 500 copies made.
So, anyways, what we're saying is, indie developers, try something new, guys. Try something new.
Before I started writing for SideQuesting, I wrote an article kind of about that once, and everybody fucking jumped on my ass about it, talking about like, hey, indie developers, maybe try to do something a little bit more complicated or do something less minimalistic.
Stop being some
and suddenly,
slackers, bitch.
Yeah, basically, it was kind of like maybe broaden your horizons at least, and like fucking every comment on it was just like, fuck you, I love Braid and shit like that.
Hey, indie developers, leave your parents' basement. I don't want to be that guy. Actually, I love being that guy.
I'm saying is that Almost Human made a.
Have any of you guys tried to make a game before?
I've made several.
So, like, you know that, especially by yourself, like, it's not anything easy.
Oh no!
But I mean,
it's totally easy.
Yeah,
but there are other aesthetics than the. I'm not saying that they necessarily need to blow it out and make a fucking 3D game or something like that. But Ska Studios was one dude, and he made Dishwasher and shit like that. And that, you know, that has its
that shit
that
sucked.
Has its puzzle stuff. But no, I'm no. What I'm saying is like I like the. Fan. I li- but I kind of like
hand.
The. Arts. Oh,
you guys suck at talking individually.
Yeah, you just suck at talking. But no, you're right, Steven. I mean, there's got to be a different aesthetic that people finally, you know. Start to try something a little bit different.
Push it forward a little bit.
Yeah. Well, the appeal of, I mean, I'm looking at VVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVVV It was purposely designed to look super retro because of the game mechanics. Like, mechanic was that whole blip, you know, pixel-based gameplay. It was a definite style element. I mean, he purposely went for that Commodore 64 look. Meanwhile, I think a lot of the developers now are, they're doing it but it's almost like a it's almost like, hey, you know, let's make an indie game. All right, well, it's going to be a 16-bit style game because that's what everybody wants these days.
And
you know,
it's like because most of these guys making games are coders. Like, they're not really artists.
Can I blow your mind right now and say that the graphics have never mattered? Like, unless graphics get in the way of gameplay, it doesn't matter what they look like.
They do matter, though.
Yeah.
Okay, check it, though.
Man, I love this movie, but the acting is awful. So
that's not what matters. Really different. That is not a fair comparison at all.
I'm saying that, like...
Okay, there are some 8-bit games out there that are doing really, like, 8-bit looking games that are doing really innovative things. And just because they're 8-bit, I'm not going to say that, you know, I'm not going to damn them for that.
There's good looking 8-bit and bad looking 8-bit. And if a game just, like, flat out looks bad, like, it matters because nobody's going to play it.
I'm just saying it's possible to have a game that looks awful and plays really well, and it doesn't necessarily make the game a bad game.
I think Fez actually looks really good. I think, Fez looks great.
Fez is a very unique thing.
Yeah, Super Brothers looks really good. I think it's not so much of how good it looks. I think it's more of the style choice. I think
which is really kind of what I guess I said it wrong, but that's kind of what I was getting at.
No, I totally agree with you. I think it's just we're just kind of getting tired of it. That's all.
What I want to say is, like, I don't think that there is I think that there is room for both in the world. I think that I totally like a lot of these 8-bit and 16-bit looking kind of games and stuff. But, like, I want somebody out there to say, yeah, those are cool and all, but I want to do something else too. Like,
the options available aren't, like, that diverse.
I think the problem is too is that style of game has this, like, connotation around it where, okay, that's an indie game. Yeah. Like, you look at a game that looks 8-bit or 16-bit and you're like, that's an indie game. But if you see another game that, like, that maybe it's you know, it's full 3D or something, your first thought is an indie game. You know, so I think, you know, it might, the idea that every indie developer is making games that look like this might be a little bit inflated.
That's actually a really good point. Like I was saying, Almost Human, indie developer, 3D graphics and all that stuff. But, like, yeah, you're absolutely right. I don't think of them as indie developer until I stop and, like, really look at what I'm looking at. So, yeah, that is a good point.
It is kind of interesting because you look at the different style of game development now, right? You have that 8-bit style, which is like, okay, that's indie. Everybody knows that's indie now. You look at that kind of 2D Zynga style. For, like, Words with Friends and Scramble with Friends, and it looks like ass because it's not.
That's iOS.
Yeah, well, at the same time, it's available on other platforms, but it doesn't look super hot. But that's just
gameplay. Name the number of games on iOS that, like, look super hot. Like, yeah, Super Brothers.
Super Brothers is
that looks super hot. There's a ton that look really good.
I think I think Hero Academy looks pretty good, especially on my iPad.
Yeah. Well, Shadow Here. Okay, let me read the ones that I have on my iOS screen right now. Assassin's Creed Recollection, Batman, Scribblenauts, Mass Effect Infiltrator, Splinter Cell HD, Mirror's Edge, Shadow Era, Chaos Rings, World of Goo.
See, I don't think most of those look good because they just look like worse versions of other games that I know look good.
Well, what are you comparing them to, like, console games, or what are you doing?
Well, yeah, of course. What else are you going to do?
Not a fair comparison.
Take advantage of the hardware you're using.
Yeah,
dude, look at Real Infinity Racing Blade. On like an iPad 3 screen. It looks excellent.
It looks amazing. Real Racing looks as good as Forza.
Dark Meadow is another game.
The cars do. The world around it definitely.
Environments look like trash, but yeah, like
that's always
you can case. You can like Infinity Blade is a key example. Like it. Sure, it's a standard, like, style, but, like, they took advantage of the hardware they're working with and made it look good.
The Mass Effect game looks really good. Dark Meadow looks really good.
Is fantastic. It's fantastic on those Tiger 3 phones.
There are plenty of games for iOS, and again, that's also the you look at the who's developing those, right? If it's a big name developer, they have more money to put in to Unreal, to Unity, and all that kind of stuff.
Those are the games I think look like usually the worst, like the actual indie teams that don't have as much money to work with that have to use a unique style are the ones that look better.
It feels like they put a lot more tender loving care into it.
Dead Space, I thought, looked amazing on the iPad.
Dead Space did look pretty good.
No, it didn't look like a bad version of Dead Space. It looked like an amazing version of a game. mean, really. You can't compare it to, you know, something but different, right?
It has the same name on it the whole time. It's like all I'm thinking is, yeah, I guess it looks kind of good for what it is.
Maybe for a split second, but then after that, you're thinking, wow, this really looks good. You start to notice the light.
No, I understand what Eric is saying because when I saw the David Cronenberg version of the movie Crash, and then I saw the later movie Crash that won all the Oscars and stuff, I totally got them confused constantly. I mean, one was about racial tension in the urban environment. The other one was about people who like to fuck while getting into car crashes. So
that's the one I liked.
Steven really likes making those movie comparisons that never make any sense.
But if you're looking at if you're looking at Dead Space, you got to compare Dead Space. You got to be like, okay, this looks good as an iOS game, not this looks bad as a Dead Space game, because the other ones were on Xbox or PS3 or whatever, and that's obviously not going to look as good.
But it's like it's always in the back of my mind.
Well,
like,
get it out.
Just drill in.
Put a plunger on your ear.
Somebody give me your power.
You
know that,
stop having those shitty thoughts, and you won't have to worry about it.
High forever. You let the oxygen in, and you get you. So, okay, so you get a DeWalt, right?
Okay, you lost that joke.
So you know where that's
you get a real.
You know where that. I think you know where your argument is pretty valid, Eric. Is when you look like Wii compared to Xbox and PS3, right? There's the Wii.
You're mentioning before, like you got a Mad World that looks completely unique and looks pretty good even for a Wii game.
Exactly. But I think the iOS, especially with the iPad 3, I think it's getting very close to console quality visuals. It's definitely better than Wii already. It surpassed Wii, I think, with the first iPad. But
Infinity Blade was better than the Wii.
Yeah. So I think there's.
I still just think that like iOS games trying to go after console style graphics are like it's still a bad idea.
Well, I don't think
it's something for them to shoot for, it's something for them to constantly be getting closer and closer to console style graphics, and they're getting there. Another version of the iPad, and they'll be there. I mean,
they'll be better. Another version of the iPad.
They'll be close.
Look at that screen. That screen is freaking amazing.
Oh, that screen's so good.
It's so
but it makes everything
sexual.
Look so bad.
Well, the updated version of Infinity Blade looks really damn good on the new screen.
I'm just saying, like, anything that doesn't get updated, like websites and stuff, you look at, like, a JPEG of somebody, it's just like, oh, God, what is that on their face? Oh, no.
Why do they look like they're not anti-alias. They're, like, they're just anti-human.
It's made it really tough to jerk off using my iPad instead of to get all the internet porn.
Well, I use lotion. I don't use iPads. I'm not Johnny Moneybags over here.
Oh God! Are you like take two iPads and scrape them against the sides?
It's like American Reunion, but just instead of a laptop, they tried to be more trendy. So he just sandwiches his dick inside of two iPads,
which have pictures of pies, but.
Right. He's like, I don't understand. He's like pushing his dick into it like for 30 minutes, and that's the whole movie as he tries to figure out why his dick won't submerge.
There's a movie that did that. I saw a trailer for it. Was some rom-com or whatever, and she was supposed to swear on the Bible, and so he just pulled up a picture of the Bible on his iPad or Bible app or something.
Wow, that's hilarious.
Was it starring Reese Witherspoon?
Probably.
That sounds about right.
Every movie should star Reese Witherspoon.
Legally Blonde 3.
Legally Blonde. More like
Legally Blondier.
Legally Blonde 3, Digitally Blonde.
Barely.
So I'll get into what I know. Yeah, so back to Fez.
Are we talking about Fez?
That was go, Fez.
Fezzes are cool. I wear a Fez now.
Now we're all going to sound crazy because I'm going to cut out that whole talk.
No,
we're not.
No, because I'm going to post it shortly after this podcast is done recording. Otherwise, we have to wait. Till Monday till it gets
filed.
So I've been playing a few games. I've got.
I don't believe it.
Yeah, I actually have been. Mass Effect 3. I know we've talked this one to death, but I finally was able to get back into it. And
was Colors 3D like after that of Mass Effect 3?
That's actually what held up my Mass Effect 3 time. I'll get into Colors 3 in a second, but
He got to the ending of Mass Effect 3, and then the ending inspired him to get through Colors 3D.
No spoilers.
It's in 3D. So Mass Effect 3, I'm getting into it now. We've talked it one to death. I'm really enjoying it really well. Okay.
Hopefully.
Colors 3D. I really like this little sketching app. For those who don't know, we did a review of it. It was a DS game, or DS homebrew app, Colors. And it's made by this guy who was an art director on a bunch of other video games and just kind of created this DS homebrew app on the side. Fun little project. And thought it became really popular to the point where there were, people started to share the there was a website community built around it where people could upload their images directly from his app. I mean, he did things with this little mini homebrew app that Nintendo wasn't even able to do with their stupid DS. So he decided to create an actual one for the 3DS. Colors 3D lets you sketch on a bunch of different layers, kind of like Photoshop, but these layers actually show depth. So depending on which layer you're sketching on, you can get a different layer of depth. As far as sketching apps go, obviously it's a tiny little screen. It's not going to replace sketching on an iPad or a Wacom or anything, but it's definitely better than sketching on any phone or tablet by far. By far. It's actually really fun. And I was showing some of the guys at PAX the Game of Thrones sigils that I had been sketching all that week. And it's really neat. You can take a photo, sketch over photographs, do things in layers, do overlays. It's actually really fun. The community aspects are a blast because you upload an image, people can rate it, comment on it, share images back and forth. You can download the work of other people, and it saves like a recording of all the brushstrokes they take. So you can actually see what tools are using, what layers are sketching on. So it's pretty cool. I really enjoy it. If you got a 3DS, I strongly suggest picking it up. It's the number one downloaded.
Is it like a buck?
I want to say it's like $3.99 or $4.99. It's really cheap.
I kind of wanted to make a joke about the fact that you're playing this, but you showed me your Game of Thrones sigil thing at PAX, and it actually looked pretty legit. So
yeah, it's one of those things that if you got a 3DS, you should pick it up. It's just a great little app, and it's fun to just mess around with doing things in different layers. I mean, the stuff that other people have created is really astounding. It's well beyond my level of illustration, but the artwork is amazing. You just watching them sketch it out step by step, but
It's just a shame that everybody using this ever is just going to be drawing dicks.
Like, yeah, essentially. Well, you did not use SwapNote. With Eric and I, were masters of dicks on SwapNote.
You more than I, but yeah, well, I had my fair share of good ones.
But you can view all the stuff. You can actually go to the Colors Live website and view the images on there. Obviously, they're not in 3D, but the only thing I really wish they were able to do was to get these printable, or somehow you sketch it up on your 3DS, upload it to their website, and somehow get some type of actual piece or something that they could
Got to dig up that old Game Boy printer.
That, you know what? I mean, they send you the image, they send you the red and blue glasses, and you're all set. So maybe that's the best way to do it. But really cool little app. I enjoy it. I've also been playing another 3DS game, Kid Icarus Uprising.
Tell me about this game.
So it's super pretty. The game is really, really, really good looking on the 3DS. It's not as good looking as Resident Evil, which in some respects looks like a 360.
Because it doesn't have any asses.
Yeah. Resident Evil, just fantastic ass design. It's really pretty. The flying levels are fantastic. The flying levels, I think, are actually really easy to control. The ground base levels, where you're running around, kind of a traditional 3D over the shoulder camera thing, horrible. Oh god, the control is just garbage. So, it's like it's at that point that they should have made it in on rails, on the ground, or even in the sky. Just kept it as an on rails type of game where you don't have to worry too much about turning around and, you know, rotating your character and stuff, because you just want to shoot shit and slice shit, and they could have done so much better with the controls on this. It really simplified them, but
Yeah, it's too bad that Peter Molyneux got brought on later on as like a co-creative producer, and just like the only thing he contributed was, it's not all rails, guys. It's not all rails.
It's not all rails. No, if this is one of those games that if this was on rails, it would have actually probably been good for the game.
How's the humor play? Because like I was not interested in this game at all until I heard it was funny.
It it's very meta. So they reference a lot of stuff from like the first couple Kid Icarus games, and then there's some Nintendo jokes thrown in there, and they kind of tried to modernize it. I don't know if it was the guys from 8-4 whoever did the translation, or maybe it was Nintendo that did the actual translation of this one, but. They did a really good job of getting a lot of good in jokes in there. So it is humor, and it's not funny. I wouldn't say it's not laugh out loud stuff, but you're gonna give a response.
I mean, I saw you're saying it's like meta and stuff. I saw straight up Metroids in that game. Like they're just Metroids floating around.
Well,
on the battlefield.
Those were in the very first Kid Icarus game. There were Metroids.
Oh, were they?
Yeah. They're
someone
actually
by the Eggplant Wizard.
Free, basically, but. Yeah, controls aside, the game is a ton of fun. But goddamn, those controls just get me because it can't. It's very much like a mouse and keyboard, except it's an analog stick and a pointer, and it just doesn't work. It's like
Metroid Prime Hunters kind of thing.
Yeah, it's exactly the Metroid Prime. Exactly Metroid Prime. It's better than Metroid Prime Hunters because at least you get an analog stick this time, but. It's the point where they really needed that second analog stick to make that style work.
and then they got that second analog stick and they don't use it.
And they don't use it. It's just for left-handed, and it's worse for left-handed people because you can't put it on the stand. And surprisingly, it's actually not that bad on the stand. But God, it's just like it could have been so much more. But the it's still fun. I still really enjoy playing it, but this control is really, really kind of put a damper on it. The extra stuff in there, the creation of weapons and all the collectibles, there's just a bajillion things to unlock and collect. Anybody that's played any of the Smash Brothers games knows that Sakurai likes to put as many unlockables in there as possible. There's hundreds, probably close to thousands of close to 1,000 unlockables in this game. So there's definitely stuff to do when you're
so history lesson for Steven. The reason there's Metroids in there is because Sakamoto did art for both the games.
There you go.
Yep. Oh, okay. I think I'm gonna take the plunge on this one, and this will probably be the second 3DS game I buy ever. First being Super Mario.
The second 3DS game or the second 3DS cartridge game? Because there's actually some pretty decent downloads, like Pushmo and
right.
Dylan's I haven't adventure blah 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 and VVVVVVV.
I haven't done any of that. I already own VVVVVVV on Steam,
sure,
so.
Sure.
But this will second cartridge and second like 3DS game in general. Like all I've got on there right now is Super Mario 3D Land is the only 3DS game, but I've also got like the GBA games like sure. Metroid Fusion stuff like that. So
okay, you got those for the during that ambassador program thing, right?
Yeah, I was one of the cheating bastards that got the ambassador program and the discounted thing. Uh-huh. So I did it the correct way. But yeah, I'm kind of interested. I've never played a Kid Icarus game in my life. I had no interest in Kid Icarus ever. Like this new one.
Because the choices you've had are so diverse.
What do you mean?
There's not a lot of Kid Icarus games.
Oh, right. Well, I don't even know that. I didn't know that there aren't many of them.
There's like three, I think.
Well, there you go. That's how little I know about Kid Icarus. But this one, I saw some of like the gameplay and saw some of that meta humor, and I was just like, all right, this I could jam with this. Like this is down with Steve. This is good with him. He's okay with this.
He's all right with
this. You should write a weekly column called Down with Steve.
I've already got a couple of weekly column ideas, and I think Down with Steve will be pushed out by Steve Online. Which will have nothing to do with Eve Online, don't worry.
It's a porn website.
You should just like oh man.
Steve Online, Steve Down Low.
Steve Down Low. Down Low with Steve. So yeah, that's Kid Icarus Uprising. I enjoy it. I just think it definitely seems like it started off as a Wii game and then they transferred over to the 3DS somewhere early in its development, and then yeah. But
yet they're still making Pokemon Black and White 2 for the
Weird. Really,
it makes a lot of sense if you think about it for like a minute, but you know.
Yeah, if you think about it for a minute, it made sense. But if they wanted to sell hardware, that made no sense whatsoever.
Yeah.
Finally,
I guess they're doing that well enough, anyways, right now.
Yeah, they're the 3DS is selling like hotcakes in Japan. So
boggled my mind.
How do Pokemon games sell these days?
What's that?
How do Pokemon games sell these days? Still good?
Oh yeah,
did the last one sell like 5 million in three, four months?
And it still sells well in the U.S. It's still in the NPD top 20.
Because there's always a new kid to play it.
Yep.
Yeah, I was about to say, like, but Pokemon felt like such a product of my generation. Like, it came out right around the time that I was the perfect age for Pokemon, and I was pretty deep into Pokemon when I was a kid and whatnot.
I haven't played one since, like, the first ones on the Game Boy Color. I think maybe the first ones on the Advance. But I'm pretty sure if I picked up a new Pokemon game, I'd still enjoy it.
Yeah, it helps that they're just well-designed games. Like, even if you go back and play some of those old ones, like Red and Blue.
Well,
like,
they're simple, right?
I mean, yeah. Well, they're simple, but they've got enough complexity in them where you know it keeps you coming back. Like you wouldn't be bored with them.
Yep.
So I don't know. I'm kind of interested in maybe jumping back on. I haven't played one since like Crystal.
Yeah, I was totally gonna get Pokemon Black or White, but they're still like $35 and.
Yeah.
I could spend $35 on a year old DS game.
Yeah, if you get White, I'll get Black though.
And then we can trade. It's amazing how much those DS games, even used, they're still pretty I don't know what Nintendo does, but their games are still sold at a premium even used. So
because it's the only games people care about buying.
pretty much. That long tail. Gotta get that long tail.
But even they aren't immune these days either. Like I saw Kid Icarus on sale like the week after it came out at Best Buy or something like that. Like,
well, they dropped the price instantly to $29.99 on Kid Icarus, which is a super smart move.
Oh, okay.
That was every place.
I really have it.
Yeah, every place had it for $29.99 that first week. I don't know if it's still that low though, but for like the first 2 weeks, it was $29.99. There was no reason if you're a 3DS owner not to buy it. At least give it a shot. I've also been playing – so you guys know I'm a huge Skylanders fan. I have – I think at this point I have – every time I go to Target, I pick up a new Skylander. I probably own most of them, and I own a bunch of them.
Gotta get that Chop Chop.
I finally got a legendary Chop Chop, so it's good. they came – surprisingly, out of nowhere, they announced and released Skylanders for the iPhone. Skylanders Cloud Patrol, which is you can actually put your iOS your Skylander characters in the game if you own them. You could scan the little code that comes with the characters.
Is there an NFC reader in the iPhone?
No, it's not NFC, but they're when you get a Skylander toy, it comes with like a little separate code.
Yeah, there's the punch code. Yeah,
the punch code. Yeah.
I didn't know if they put NFC reader in the newest iPhones.
No, not yet. I think the next one probably will.
Your iPad is not a portal of power, is what you're trying to say?
Lord. No, it's not. But
pretty great.
So the way it plays is it kind of starts you off with that whole Jetpack Joyride, you know, those three goals you have to get, and then it unlocks them and goes to the next one, which a lot of games on
achievements.
Yeah, a lot of games on those on portable platforms now have started using this mechanic. But it plays a little bit like Fruit Ninja, in that enemies will appear on screen and you've got to shoot them to knock them out of the air, and you have to kill all the enemies that are on each stage, either by tapping or by sliding across. It's really simple, but at the same time, you have to be careful because sometimes there's bombs that come across the screen that if you accidentally hit the bomb, your turn ends.
Here's a question: do you need the toys to play this game at all?
You don't need the toys to play this game. It helps because they're brilliant marketers for Skylanders, even though I think it's totally unfair and totally kind of a Better Business Bureau ripoff. Because I'm not the kind of person that I don't appreciate when stuff is on the disc and you pay for the whole disc, but you can't unlock everything.
Hey, Mike.
What happened?
This is a fun conversation we had at PAX East.
Like a sandwich shop.
Yeah, exactly. And so what they do with Skylanders is the achievements that are in Skylanders on Xbox and PS3 and so forth, you cannot get those achievements without buying extra figures. So you're forced to buy, spend an extra $40 or $50 to be able to unlock all the achievements that are on the Skylanders 360 game.
$40 or $50 on an iOS game?
No, for the 360 version. So,
oh, okay.
So I'm not a fan of that. What they do with the iOS version is that you can actually unlock them within the game. So the more you play the game, the more gems you acquire. You can actually unlock the different iOS or the different Skylanders characters within the game. So, very simple type of gameplay mechanic, but at the same time, it can get pretty hectic as it goes on. And there's like these little mini boss battles every 10 stages or so, 8 stages or so. And it's actually pretty fun. The visuals are nice and poppy and colorful, and it's good for like 2 to 3, 4 minutes at a time, you know. And it's great bathroom gaming. So,
has Baby Domovsky been jumping on this?
Oh, she loves it because she gets to throw boomerangs at gremlins and goblins. So
gremlins and goblins. There you go.
Gremlins,
that's all you need.
Goblins. So, but I think it's like a $2 or something.
Okay. Well, all right. That's not. I mean, that doesn't sound like a bad addition to your Skylanders Milo. If you've already spent $500 on fucking Skylanders, what's another $2?
But at the same time, I'm not typing. I'm playing
Mario versus Donkey Kong right now.
It's actually a pretty fun. It's actually a pretty fun game though. It's enjoyable. So again, if you like those simple style games, I would recommend picking it up. You know, it's fun. If you like Jetpack Joyride, and if you liked Fruit Ninja, and you like those types, yeah.
Okay.
Do it.
Is that all you've been playing then?
That's all. I've been playing more, but I can't talk about it. So that's all.
I
got.
Same kind of thing. Sure.
Eric, what have you been playing?
I was interested in saying all those games earlier, but I'm not anymore. The time has passed.
There's some good ones in there.
Yeah, there are.
Yeah, one or two. There's some jewels in the rough.
I can read them. I can read them for you if you'd like, Eric.
Go for it.
Okay, so Eric wrote down Tribes as the game under his in the Google Doc. So, of course, the rest of us started adding more games because Eric is a dick sometimes. And who wrote Hide the Sausage?
Was that you?
Those were all Mike.
Okay, well,
it's like a Mike Bachman jam.
Mike wrote "Hide the Sausage" and "Shake the Butthole" because every time Eric would say something, Mike would type it in there. So then I wrote down the obvious sequel: "Shake the Butthole 2, Shave That Shit Extended Edition." And Mike, of course, jumped in with
"Shake the Butthole HD Collection."
Ah, and
which
then
I already own.
Yeah, I countered with the Capcom Namco jam, "Shake the Butthole Cross Eat the Titty Pie Ultimate Edition."
Shake the Butthole Operation Raccoon City,
which is it's pretty true. It's pretty true.
That's actually the working title of the original game,
the original Operation Raccoon City, yeah. And then Super Shake the Butthole Brawl.
And then finally, I just added right now, Shake the Butthole 3, Lost in New York.
but what have you really been playing, Eric?
Well, just Tribes, which we kind of talked about and can't really be talked about anymore.
We sort of talked about Tribes.
Go ahead and dive into it. You and Mike and Steven have been playing this a lot, and
we can riff about Tribes for a little bit if you want.
Yeah, go ahead.
If you want, Eric.
What can we say about it?
We can talk about the amazing triple kill I got today.
Let's not do that ever. I'm not very far into the game at all. I haven't unlocked.
Oh, you're like halfway through the campaign?
No. I mean, I haven't unlocked much. Is what I just said, which you just talked over, Eric Smith.
Neither am I really. I guess like I I'm about 45% through the soldier class. But that's the most.
What I was going to say is, like, what kind of modes unlock later? Because all I've seen so far is Team Deathmatch and Capture the Flag.
Just the arena, right?
Arena and also Control Point, which is just basically, like, you know,
a domination mode.
Right, modes, domination. Yeah. There you go.
What's arena?
I haven't delved into it yet. It's just like smaller maps, I think.
I just hit level 8 today, so like that just unlocked for me. I don't know anything about that yet.
Oh, okay. Great.
So Tribes is basically you have huge ass maps enough to accommodate for 32 people traveling at 250 kilometers an hour.
Which is a thing that you have to do. You have to just make yourself do that too. You don't just start off at 250 miles a kilometer or kilometer an hour. God damn it. Whatever. Yeah,
that.
You move super fast by skiing and then jumping and then skiing some more, right?
Yeah, there's no actual jump button, is there?
Yes, there is. There is, but why would you use it ever?
What is it?
Yeah, ever.
I think it was like left control or something by default.
Jesus, I never even knew that. But anyways, I'll use right mouse for jetpack and space bar for skiing.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. play Pathfinder class and go 300 kilometers an hour.
Yeah, is that your preferred class, dude. Pathfinder?
What? I prefer for speed Pathfinder, obviously, because they're the fastest, but...
Oh, the Juggernaut, though. You got those mortars?
Oh. Yeah, but you go like...
You don't need to go fast.
It's so boring. Tribes is all about the speed.
Hey,
let's not play with this speed. Let's go slow. I'm like, yourself. So, yeah.
So, have you guys gotten into any vehicles or any kind of stuff like that? Like, guys, I barely played it all.
I don't play much Capture the Flag. I don't really like how it's balanced in the game. It doesn't feel right to me, but it's personal preference.
They do seem to drag out.
Yeah, and Capture the Flag's the only mode which has vehicles.
Oh, really? Not even Nodes has vehicles?
I don't know. I haven't played any Domination yet.
Okay. Yeah. So yeah, Pathfinder and Juggernaut. Yeah, I've been rolling Pathfinder myself. I kind of agree with Eric that I think speed is tantamount to
Speed is cool, but like the mortars though,
awesome.
Like, you get really good with those mortars, and you can, like, just launch it right in somebody's path, and they do insane amounts of damage. So usually what I end up doing is I get somebody chasing me, and at that point, speed's not really important because I want them to catch up to me a little bit, and I'm just launching mortars at my feet so that they're running right into them as they're trying to chase me down.
Rocket Hoppin' Bachman.
That's it.
Tribes, to me, is Ascend is one of the best-feeling first-person shooters I've ever played.
Really?
Yeah, between the speed and the control you have over, you know, just about everything, and all the combat is super fun. Mm-hmm. Like using the what the hell's the name of the spinning spin disc? Yeah, the spin fuser. God, you shoot out frisbees at super fast speeds and trying to clip people with them.
Exploding energy frisbees.
Yes.
Yeah, it's pretty great.
And just destroying a dude as you cruise by him at 250 kilometers an hour as he's like trying to get up to speed is just hilarious.
And your like commanding officer who is chattering in your headset the whole time is Piccolo, which is something that I have found I really appreciate. I find that really amusing to be have him screaming at me, you dropped the flag.
What? Piccolo? That's homophobic.
I'm sorry that you don't understand anime, and like, I'm sorry you don't find Asura's Wrath fun, because you hate fun and stuff like that. So.
That was homophobic.
That's super racist of you, Eric.
Hating fun is hating America
and Japan. Apparently, he hates Japanese people.
I am Phil Eric Fish.
Smith. You are Eric Smith or Eric Phil Fish Smith.
Fish Smith,
the filthiest.
He's a fish.
Filthy
Smith.
Phil.
Fish Smith.
It's going nowhere. Tribes is good.
Yeah. I just wanted to talk about mortars. That's all. I'm all done with Tribes.
Yeah. Mike, what have you been playing?
I've been playing that hot new jam, Street Fighter Alpha 3.
Wait, like the 2012? The remake that just came out or actual Street Fighter Alpha 3?
Remake that just came out. And you're thinking of Street Fighter 3.
Yes, I am.
Not Alpha 3.
Yes, I am.
I'm playing the PSP version on Vita, which is pretty much the only thing that I use my Vita for is just a Street Fighter machine.
Oh, I use mine for just PSP games that I didn't play because I didn't want to buy a PSP.
Right, exactly. But I mean, I don't really feel right talking about a game that's that old, but I'm getting a lot better at it. Also, I've been playing Super Monday Night Combat, and by have been playing, I mean I played one round and I did not get a kill because I didn't understand how the barrels work. I was playing as that monkey character.
Donkey Kong.
Yeah, and you roll barrels and stuff, and I'm so out of practice in Monday Night Combat to begin with, and then to play a class that I just didn't understand, which it said was supposed to be easy, so maybe I'm just bad.
Monkey Night Combat.
I'd play that game. Super Monkey Night Combat. Yeah, okay. I actually played some Super Monday Night Combat 2. If by played, you count, went into the options menu to adjust the resolution and then had the game break my computer. So that was fun.
Nice. Is that still a MOBA-like game? Or no?
I mean, you have to ask Mike Bachman because it broke my computer for like 2 hours. So
is it still a what game?
Near MOBA.
Player online battle arena like Dota.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. It still plays largely the same way. There's a few changes. The banter, of course, from the announcers is still really funny. There's more classes, and then those classes have more customization options. I think there was like only four things that you could. Well, no, you had the three skills, and then you had, like, I think just regular defense, right? Or I forget what you could upgrade in the first one.
It was pretty sparse, though. If I recall.
Now there's five options. I think they added something else, and I couldn't tell you what it is. Like, you know how they have Bullseye, the guy who'd run around and you shoot him to get money. Mm. Now there's they have a couple other characters that run around as well. There was a chicken who would just run around and peck people to death and take almost no damage. Like, you'd shoot him and one person cannot take this thing down. I really
like the aesthetic of that universe, that whole like fake product placement, like,
oh yeah, everything about it.
Hyper cartoony, ultra violence, like just Running Man, but like if Running Man was a Tex Avery cartoon, like I love it.
Right.
But it retains that. Are there still fake ads for fake products?
Yeah, there sure are. There sure are. The announcer, I'm going to butcher this, I know, but there's a part where he's like, this Saturday is Warlord Night. Anybody using military force to take over a national or subnational area gets in free. And it's just things like that all the time. So it's like, you know, you'll be playing and then you'll just barely hear, like a little clip of him saying something really funny. Right. So
it always blew out the arena modes of like a Ratchet and Clank game and made them into a full game, because it's like kind of that same feel to, like, I don't know how many people play Ratchet and Clank games, but they had that same kind of thing of like fake product placement and stuff like that. And I really got to try Monday Night Combat because I really liked Monday Night Combat a lot. If you want to play, I will play with you sometime.
You gotta be fucking kidding me.
That's Steam Steam only, right?
Or PC? Yeah, I believe so. Yeah, it's free to play. So I mean, it's kind of unlikely that we'll see it on XBLA or anything like that. We might, but
should we maybe mention the weirdness of how this game kind of came out?
Yeah, go ahead.
Eric, we'll get to your thing in just a second here.
No, I'm just posting that as for later.
Oh, okay.
Ridiculous again.
Yeah. So the game was in beta, the Super Monday Night Combat Invitational, they called it, which I was in and for like the past couple of months and never touched it. But apparently they were supposed to be rolling out more beta keys or something like that. More people were supposed to be getting into the beta than others. And like hit the on switch and just release the game, the free to play game on Steam and everything. And rather than like pull it down or anything like that, they just rolled with it and decided, yeah, it's out now. Like that. It's just a game that you can all play now. It wasn't supposed to come out this early.
And you know what? That's totally how games should be released if they're going to be released only digitally.
Mm-hmm. I think that was pretty smart. I mean, there have been issues in the past where that has been an issue for disc based games. Like Demigod got like fucking crushed by this, by GameStop releasing the game like a week early and before they had all the patches and stuff out before they were done with the fucking game and stuff like that. And so the game kind of died. But with Monday Night Combat, when you can just like patch it right away, and especially with the new infrastructure that we have with video games these days, I think that's absolutely
with video games these days.
Games these days. Yeah, but I thought that was kind of interesting.
Cool.
Totally. Eric,
we should maybe mention this.
No, well, it just falls in line with the Crysis 3 being leaked by Origin.
Right.
God of War Ascension just showed up on Amazon.
Thanks, Amazon.
Thanks.
It's like, yo, dude, we heard you wanted to know about this game before E3. Yeah.
We had it.
Like flipping a table. If there's one thing you can count on, is Sony rumors to stay secret.
That's right. Liability you can trust. Meanwhile, the fucking building falls down behind you.
The more you know.
So I guess we'll just transition this into the news.
Let's go into the news.
We'll cover it all. And
we'll cover it all. It's the news. We'll cover it all. It's the news. We'll cover it all.
Keep it going. That's great.
My suicide.
That's absolutely fantastic.
Yeah. Okay, what's the news? Here's my creed.
Hello, my baby. Hello, my honey.
This first news story is courtesy of Dally because it's the one that surprised him the most. New Mario and Pikmin for the Wii U.
That's not the order that we wrote it in, but all right.
Well, I'm mentioning the least important first.
Okay, so GameStop Online. This is pretty important because Nintendo's console future hangs in the balance of what happens with the Wii U. So for the first time outside of a Nintendo statement, a new Mario game was confirmed by Miyamoto, who said I think he told the French gaming magazine there's a new Mario game coming out for the Wii U, and we're going to show it at E3.
I think very specifically, he said a new Super Mario Brothers game. There was kind of rumors of Super Mario Brothers 4, guys.
Well, didn't they say demo that was at E3 last year is totally going to be used?
Well, they said it's going to be based off of that what they showed at E3 last year. So essentially, it's going to be new Super Mario Brothers Mii for the Wii U, which didn't use the fucking Wii U controller, the screen, in any way except for switching it from the TV to the little screen. So I'm kind of curious as to what that will actually do. Although it was a really fun game because it's new Super Mario Brothers and it plays like a classic Mario Brothers game, but it's got to be a little bit more for me than that. It'll sell well because it's going to look
because it's Mario.
It's Mario. It's going to look good. It plays exactly like everything you know of Mario to play as, but
God forbid we have a franchise that wasn't invented by the baby boomers.
It might be the only one that's still relevant. Then Pikmin. He announced that Pikmin 3 will be part of their presentation. Pikmin is a game that I never played either of the Pikmin games, but apparently they're pretty popular.
Popular. They have a strong following of those who played them, but
yeah, the sales were probably never spectacular, but they were those games that were definitely cult favorites.
I feel like you should get out there and grab those, Dally. For some reason, I feel like Pikmin would really be up your alley.
Well, they have them for the they did those new play control for the Wii.
Which is the ideal way to play Pikmin for sure.
Right?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Maybe I will do that then. I'll get
them for a song at this point.
I will goose-ex these bitches and then have them.
Can I tell you what I thought it said when I read new Mario and Pikmin for Wii U in the show notes? Sure. I thought it said new Mario Paint for Wii U, and I got really excited.
Oh, dude.
Is that Mario not Paint the best 2. Place for a Mario Paint?
Well, they showed that at E3, didn't they? They showed somebody sketching Link on the controller on a tablet.
But they didn't call it Mario Paint.
No. Yeah.
It matters.
I'm just saying that I want my Fly Swatter game.
Fly Swatter and a still MIDI music creation, even though
it could be
something beyond MIDI.
Are you saying you want Homestar Runner comics to be created in the Wii U?
I don't think anybody would say that.
So Homestar Runner comics were originally made in
Mario Paint.
Worst thing to come out of Mario Paint.
No, I made an entire Beavis and Butthead episode in Mario Paint with me voicing Beavis and Butthead.
So that was the worst thing that ever came out.
The worst thing ever. There's a little tidbit that you guys didn't know. I created Beavis. No, you know what? Maybe the next episode we'll start the E3 stuff, but
possibly. We got some time yet.
Well, 6 weeks. Only six weeks left. So or 5 weeks. Shit, guys. 5 weeks till E3. Fuck.
I don't know. Okay. I don't think I'll be able to make it.
Anyways, so yeah, those games are going to be part of the show. So
we'll game see. Delays. Darksiders 2 and Ni No Kuni.
So I guess pissed about both of those, really.
Darksiders 2, from everyone who went to those events in San Francisco about a month ago, said that it really did not look anywhere close to completion, and they couldn't believe it was going to be coming out in 2 months. So I guess they're right.
You know what? It was set to debut in June, probably right around E3 time again.
June 26th, I think.
Oh, that's right. It was at the end of the month. Hey, here's an idea. Don't release games in June. Because nobody buys them in June. I think it's actually smart for them sales-wise to release it in August. Maybe even closer to the beginning of August when gamers are just getting back to school and kids are starting to spend that the money they saved up over the summer doing yard work.
Didn't something sell pretty big last year in June?
Nope. That was Red Faction Armageddon came out.
Infamous 2 sold pretty big, couple million.
No, not in June. Oh, yeah, it wasn't in June.
That's when E3 came out. It came out E3.
It released in June, but it didn't sell a couple million in June.
I bet it did.
How much?
I bet it sold a million opening week. That was a pretty big deal.
How much you want to bet?
Hey,
how much can you prove it?
Let's do this.
I'll look right now.
you can't look before you bet, bro. that defeats the purpose.
While Eric is doing that, can I ask you guys quick?
Yeah.
Any of you guys played Infamous 2 yet?
Nope.
It came so good. What's wrong with you?
I have the first one downloaded as part of the PSN thing.
Same thing. I got it for free as well.
Yeah, I'm like, I'll start with Infamous 1, and it never happened.
That's the only reason that I beat that game is because I got it for free.
Oh, did you? Yeah.
Infamous 1 is okay. I really love Infamous 2. Yeah, I really wish you guys would play Infamous 2 just so I could, I don't know, feel better about myself.
I will dedicate my life to making sure that you play Infamous 2.
If you guys don't play Infamous 2 right after this podcast, I will find you and shoot you with electricity.
Is it like Tribes? Because then I might play it.
You know what? It's probably more like Tribes than you probably assume.
Oh, because you can like grind on the rails. Yeah,
and then jump and then kind of fly and shit like that. And then you shoot electric bolts that explode.
Yeah.
I'm going to quit.
Infamous 2 is really good. Go play it.
What's this? So, what's this jam about Resident Evil 6? Well, you guys are talking about that.
Ni No Kuni, by the way, was delayed until 2013.
And they say that's for translation and further polish for the American version.
Yeah, yo, game is out in Japan. So
yeah, I'd like to have it like right now.
Well, there was an there was a state you can actually buy it because it will play on your PS3. Right, it's not region. Lock the PS3?
Probably not. Well, it's not up to the PS3. It's up to the games themselves.
True.
Because if there's one thing everybody wants to play, it's non-localized Japanese games.
Why not?
Right.
I mean, well,
them imports.
Well, Eric hates Japanese people. Yakuza. So there's no reason for him to play it anyways.
Yakuza Dead Souls is a pretty good game, even though it's not translated.
It is translated. Yeah. Subtitles. And
yes.
Such.
Well, and the
menus.
Ni No Kuni is already subtitled too.
But in the menus and stuff like that, I mean. It is not the optimal way to
take
play that
a
game.
Year.
I am saying I would be totally fine with them releasing this game with just subtitles and like new menus and stuff like that for the English version. Like if they just pulled a Yakuza. That being said, though, like you know what? I like I like the Studio Ghibli movies with the English voice acting in them and stuff, and I think maybe something does get a little bit lost in translation without the English voices for that. Just being able to hear these people.
Didn't they say that a possible sequel to Ni no Kuni strictly rests on how well it does in the West? The original does in the West. Wasn't it a statement that was released around the same time?
I don't remember.
I thought it was like the opposite, where there was. I could have sworn I heard somebody say like, "Yeah, we're making a sequel." Like, totally. Like they were just saying like, "We're probably going to make a sequel." I could have sworn I heard that.
Interesting.
Well, it's not going to sell very well in the West. It can't.
Why would you predicate like your whether or not you make a sequel to a game called Ni no Kuni based on how well it sells in English speaking countries? Because it's going to sell less than Asura's Wrath.
I don't know about that, but it's certainly not going to be.
So what's the opposite of a delay?
Pushing
a game forward.
Preponement.
What?
Preponement.
Preponement.
Postponement. Preponement.
Oh, I think that like pwn, like PWN. Oh.
That was such a beautiful segue, and then it all came crumbling down.
Yeah.
Yeah, because Dally's an old man who's trapped in 1998 thinking
that pwn
is still a thing that people
say.
So, speaking of segues.
Early.
Resident Evil 6 is coming out early.
It's coming out early.
Ah, spoilers.
Spoilers, the president dies.
So if you're planning on playing it to completion in November, don't read the internet all of October because they'll spoil it for you.
They need to bring the president's daughter back in this one. Am I right?
You know what I'm talking about. Get it?
Take her back to the White House for some debriefing. Right?
I fucking quit.
Give it out. Briefs.
Until the second or the fourth game ends.
Just gotta get your T-virus wet.
So
it's the G virus or whatever now, isn't it?
C virus.
C virus. G virus like makes Nemesis and stuff, right? There's a G virus in there somewhere.
Yo, G.
No.
G
virus. This G DJ GJ virus.
What?
Coming at you live from Raccoon City.
We're moving on.
All right. Up next, there's a holographic Tupac. No, I'm just kidding.
Once again, we'll talk about video game dates. Halo 4 is coming out on Election Day.
Yeah, kind of not a cool move. Kind of not all that cool. Isn't there? There's like no major. They don't do any like sporting events on that day. There's no like hockey games or basketball games or anything on Election Day, right? I think that's the norm.
I think there is. Actually.
Are you saying that Microsoft and 343 are trying to DDoS the election?
Okay. Ooh, check this out. I have a million-dollar idea. You ready?
Let's do
you
it.
Can't buy Halo 4 unless you get your I voted sticker.
Dude.
Million-dollar idea.
You may
idea
have
who?
Just won the election for Obama with that.
Mm-hmm.
Or McCain. You probably won the election for McCain.
Like, yeah, we're going to go back in time.
Well, apparently we are because Mitt Romney is still running again because I didn't know that he ran once.
he ran the first time?
I was alive.
You people are so bad at life.
How old is he?
He's Mitt Romney? 60.
Really?
Mitt Romney?
He's like 55 probably.
Oh, he looks so good for his age.
Yeah, he looks so trim.
He is a dashing man.
That was
true story.
He's a psychopath and a horrible, horrible human being. But.
Not really, but
true story. One time my friend said that Sarah Palin was a million times hotter than Dick Cheney, and so I told him, so if faced with a choice between one Sarah Palin and a million Dick Cheneys, you'd have to be like, you know, Sarah Palin's pretty good looking, but look at all those Cheneys.
Look at all them dicks.
You take all that dick sag and you might get one good dick.
Look at all those wrinkly dicks.
The problem is if you had a million Dick Cheneys with shotguns, you could invade a small country. And that's pretty
I have a boner the whole time.
You could take shotgun blasts all day long.
You could have one tight Palin or a million wrinkly dicks.
A million loose Cheneys?
Oh God!
Oh man, I really want Cheney to be on a coin now, so we can have loose Cheney change.
that's not a good joke, but it's funny.
I know. I don't know why I said it.
Okay. So the first week of November is usually Call of Duty week too. So
is it?
Well, yeah.
I was fucking joking.
That basic, well, Halo went ahead and said, hey, we're moving out of our September time frame and dropping a load on...
Which can only hurt them.
I actually tend to agree with you because...
How much heat do you think the next Call of Duty is going to have?
What's that?
Black Ops 2? Black Ops 2 actually sold...
Black Ops was selling better than Modern Warfare.
It still is. It still is selling, yeah.
Modern Warfare 3?
Pace-wise, Modern Warfare 3 is behind Black Ops.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Even though it had a bigger launch, it trailed off a lot quicker.
It's probably because of it being like the 900th Call of Duty game in the last 4 years.
You know what? Black Ops 2 has a really strong following. I mean, Black Ops 2, we get more hits on our site, people looking for Black Ops 2 info than Modern Warfare 3 info, so...
They're trying to figure out what happened to President Kennedy.
Yeah, like, exactly. There's number one search term is when is Black Ops released? Don't tell them or we won't get hits.
They were actually just misspelling. They were just searching for Black Cops. Call of Duty Black Cops.
Carl Winslow, Black Cops. Oh.
They were looking for the new Die Hard movie. They figured, well, how can I? What's the most surreptitious way I can do this?
Guys.
Without anybody thinking I'm actually interested in the new Die Hard movie.
Carl Winslow. Carl of Duty.
It's Carl on Duty Black Cops.
Oh, jeez.
And then it's already an image.
Carl gets shot, and you hear, "Did I do that?"
I can't. I cannot. I cannot believe that I am the least racist person on this episode.
Not racist. Yeah,
the best part would be Steve Urkel is the mastermind who accidentally clones Dick Cheney. So there's a million Dicks.
Are you saying that it's racist to mention black people? Is that what
you're like? That's racist in itself.
Steve Urkel is kind of not.
No, he's not.
Yes, he is. Wait, what the? Oh, okay.
It wasn't an original joke I was making. I was just.
Yeah, I the Carl of Duty thing. I thought Carl on duty. Okay. Yeah, I didn't.
It's such a great goddamn image.
Yeah, and it works. It plays real great on radio too.
Describe it, Steven, in detail.
Oh man! So Carl's in his pristine white uniform. He's got a he's got like that fold, you know, that you have to kind of put with.
What happened there?
Spoiler alert: Steven is colorblind because that's a blue shirt.
Also, Steven died.
No, I didn't die. Eric keeps booting me.
Oh, jeez.
I didn't boot anyone. I don't even have the goddamn Skype open. I'm searching for more Carl on Duty pictures. I'm just going to...
Yeah, just add a triple X on there in quotations. Get better hit.
Triple X State of the Union?
Triple X State of the Union. God, no. That would be awesome. Vin Diesel has to help Carl Winslow.
It was Ice-T in State of the Union, Dally. God.
Was it Ice-T? I thought it was Exhibit.
Exhibit.
No, it was Ice-T.
No, it was Exhibit.
It was Exhibit.
Ice-T is like the old dude, the Law and Order dude.
It was Exhibit.
Not Ice-T, but not Exhibit.
Final
either.
Level Twitter guy. It
was Ice Cube and Exhibit.
Steven, it's okay. They all look the same to you.
Yeah,
shut the fuck up.
And they probably all sound like Urkel, right, Steven?
Oh, God, okay.
You want to know the most racist thing that I ever said was unintentional? I asked my friend who was Australian if they had African Americans in Australia. And I did not think that through.
It's Ice Cube, you...
I said that, you dumb face.
I did say Ice Cube, but like what I'm trying to say is I was not mixing up black people. I was mixing up Ice Cube and Ice-T. I'm sorry.
You don't mix Ice Cube and iced tea. It makes it too cold.
Actually, no, you do that.
That's how you make
iced
tea.
That's the ideal
Eric.
Way to drink iced tea.
I'm going to die.
This is the worst conversation anyone's had ever.
Yeah, so no, you haven't listened to the Destructoid podcast, have you?
Well, okay, yeah, so back to Call of Duty and Halo.
Yeah, so video games.
GameStop
Care.
Online settlement. Do you wanna read this one into us, Eric?
Yeah, only actual piece of news that happened. Yeah. So like GameStop is a real shitty company. and they weren't telling people that they weren't getting all the content in the box when they buy used games.
So it's not just GameStop that does this, though. Best Buy does the same thing. They didn't mark it on the box. None of them do, really, right? Nobody puts on the box that you have to buy the extra thing.
You know, I don't know, because I have literally never looked for a used copy of a game at Best Buy. I don't know if mine even, like, carries them.
I think they all just carry them now.
They all carry them now, I think.
Maybe, I don't know. But it was a case, James Collins v. GameStop is how it started, and he sued them for marking the games for $55, used games, that didn't have the promised DLC on the box inside. And it turned into a semi-class action lawsuit, and they settled out of court.
What is a semi-class action lawsuit?
It's not an actual class action lawsuit, but it's more than one.
It was a class of people training to be semi-drivers that all got... Never mind.
They all had dreams of becoming action movie stars.
With Carl Winslow.
They got into a really bad accident.
Carl on duty.
Carl on duty. No, so... But this does set a really good precedent.
It's huge.
It is really huge for the used game industry, because it forces prices to go down. It does.
It forces GameStop to put markings up that says that they're not getting any of the promised DLC that it says.
I see where you're coming from, Dali. That's a secondary result, and it might happen.
Yeah,
it's not going to.
That's pessimistic, and that's an Eric Smith jam.
Because it does not think about it like a business would think about it. They don't need to do that. That's not what was stated in the settlement agreement.
What did they have to do with the settlement now? They actually have to do
something. They have to give people like $5 of real money and $10 in credit to GameStop. Which, what are you going to buy for $10 from GameStop?
Here's the settlement. So the settlement is they have to give they'll reimburse consumers who purchased qualifying used games with a $10 check and a $5 coupon if they're a PowerUp Rewards member, and a $5 check and a $10 coupon if they're not a PowerUp Rewards member. So essentially, they got to give them in-store money. And cash, depending on if they're PowerUp member or not.
Dude, that's so shady, because then GameStop still makes out in the deal.
Yeah, they still make out in the deal.
They're making more money. So what GameStop does, they're a shitty company, but apparently they're smart business minds.
I got to imagine that, like, I know that your average GameStop consumer is not the sharpest tool in the shed, but I got to imagine that they're good enough to do math. So, like, I got to imagine, like, somebody who figures out that, like, okay... Well, this game is being sold to me for $54.99, and then I got to spend $10 for the online pass or whatever. They'll just fucking buy the new game, right?
Well, not all of them know that the content isn't in there.
Here's what.
Well, if it's a sign, then they know.
Well, yeah, but
here's what the attorney Mark Pifko, who's the attorney for. Who's the counsel on the lawsuit? He. This is a statement. This is Joystick. Our buddies at Joystick posted this. The in-store and online warnings are an important benefit under the settlement as well, because if GameStop discloses the truth to customers, it is unlikely that they will be able to continue selling used copies of certain games for only $5 less than the price of a new copy. So that it says, in fact, we already know that not long after the lawsuit was filed, GameStop lowered prices for used copies of many of the game titles identified in the lawsuit. So it already is having an effect in dropping those prices down. It is shady, because they should be charging at least $10 less, for whatever the cost of the season passes are. So.
Right, but then at that point, like, if you're a smart consumer, you just buy the fucking game new, because you know
that
you want to have GameStop grubby grease on your disc.
Right. It's actually with the idea of online passes and stuff becoming kind of a norm now. I think a lot of the majority of new games, or a lot of the new games coming out, include them. It's GameStop's benefit to sell used games at a better price for consumers to entice them. Otherwise, you're right, they're going to buy the new game, which GameStop doesn't get that cut anymore, right? They actually get less of a cut if someone buys a new game.
Except most people just see it as cheaper right off the bat, and that's all they care about.
Right.
You know what the funny thing is that in 5 years, none of this is going to matter because it's all going to be digital anyway.
Yeah, it's true. That is very true.
Once we get that Orbis, right? Orbis and Durango.
Unless the fucking Vita can wisen up and stop selling the games for more for more than they should be selling them on their PSN store.
Oh, yeah. No, that's
they're so expensive still. God damn.
They get at least it's not games on demand. They're giving you $5 off. Games on demand is like, here, add $10.
I've literally never even thought about buying a games on demand game because it's ridiculously priced. Like,
you can buy
is it like $6 for Blood on the Sand?
Well, think of it this way. You can go buy a brand new copy of Mass Effect 2 for $20. Whereas the games on demand version is like 45 or something.
Right.
Awesome.
It's ridiculous.
I mean, that's one reason that I have not picked up any PSN games or PS1 games yet for the Vita is because they're still like $30 for Final Fantasy. It's like, hold on, guys.
And the weird thing is, like, all those PSP titles are so inconsistently priced. Like, there's some really good games. Like, I mean, Street Fighter Alpha 3 was only $10, which is fine for that. And then, like, they have something like Soul Calibur is $40.
Yeah.
It's like, A, it's super old. B, nobody played it. C, nobody's going to play it at $40.
And that right there is why they didn't offer the, like, transfer program in America.
Yep.
Because they can prohibitively price these games.
Do you guys think that this maybe has anything to do with PlayStation Plus? Like, it's keeping those prices up higher?
No.
Would if there was a sale price on those games for PlayStation.
Exactly.
But it's $40 plus. Right, but on the ones that I'm talking about, it's $40 whether or not you're a Plus member. So,
right.
I mean, and even when they do give you a discount, it's usually like $2 or $3. It's nothing exciting.
The PlayStation Plus deals are actually
PlayStation Plus deals are usually only good for like PSN downloadables, like original PSN games, not PSP or PS3 downloads.
And you can't play a lot of those original PSN games on you can't play a lot of those on the Vita, and you can't play a lot of PS1 games. You can't play any PS1 games on the Vita unless they were already added to the store recently.
They're supposed to be added, but they haven't been added yet, I don't think.
No.
Oh, they're not going to if the way the hacking sounds like it's working.
Final Fantasy, so listen to this one. Final Fantasy IV, the complete collection, or the complete edition, whatever that is, which you can go to Best Buy and buy a brand new copy for the PSP for $9.99. You can go to anywhere and buy it for $9.99. $29.99 on the PSN store, which is like, whoa, no wonder people aren't buying the shit, because it's way too expensive. God of War, Ghost of Sparta, and Chains of Olympus. $29.99 for Ghost of Sparta, $19.99 for Chains of Olympus. Both those games together in HD are $19.99 on the PS3.
Yep.
Yeah, and
we're like, not to only pick on Sony, because like we just said, Microsoft is doing it too. The individual company stores are ridiculously expensive. At least Nintendo is consistent on their pricing of old games.
I don't understand. I'm really interested to see their sales numbers, because I can't understand how they haven't figured this out yet. Because I can't imagine who's paying $20 for God of War Chains of Olympus still.
Right.
Who's paying like $40 for Soul Calibur?
I'm thinking of like the older games, like the games that
NES or those classic Genesis.
They can charge whatever they want, because if somebody's going to buy it, they're going to buy it whatever price.
Right.
If it's nostalgia factor.
You know, if these were priced like, I'm not going to say like priced like the iPhone, because these are more fully fleshed out games. I don't think that they need to be priced at like 99 cents or whatever, but if they're priced reasonably, like $5 to $10, you know, for some of these games, I would have probably dropped easily over $100 on PSP games.
Totally.
And instead, they got maybe 30 from me. And that's probably all they're going to get.
Yeah, they haven't got anything from me yet, because I still find them too expensive for the ones that I want.
It's the age of the proprietary digital marketplace. You know, like Steam, you have multiple vendors, so prices are able to fluctuate. But when you have one company controlling the prices, then it's able to stay high.
Yeah.
Which is why I think you're crazy if you're trying to buy all your Vita games digitally, because it's always going to be more expensive. Not.
I won't buy my Vita games digitally anyway, just because, like, I mean, I don't know. I'm conflicted, because with Steam, I don't mind buying games digitally and just owning them forever. But I'm the kind of guy who likes to sell my games after I've had them for a while and I'm done with them. And I mean, just the fact that I know that I'm not going to have enough storage to have all those games installed because the memory cards are so expensive, means that I'm just not going to buy, you know, I'm going to buy Vita games. I'm going to buy Vita games like in cartridge form so that I don't have to worry about taking up space in my memory card.
You can grab yourself a used copy of Uncharted Golden Abyss for $25, or you can buy it new for off the PlayStation Store for $45.
Where's it? Where's that $25 at? Oh shit!
Yeah.
Because I'd do that.
Would you really? I would not recommend it. But
I'm about 2 hours into the game.
I can actually. Oh, do you have the game?
Yeah, it's not that good.
Okay, I was gonna say Dally, I can send you my copy.
Dally, I don't know if you've noticed this or not, but Eric is a huge fan of hyperbole when it makes something sound worse than it really is. So if that's
when games that used to be good, like Uncharted 2, and then they make two bad games in a row.
Uncharted 3 is not bad. Uncharted 3 is a good game.
Yeah, just like that, where you called the last two games bad games. Yeah. I don't know. This is a discussion we've had, like, I feel like a million times on this podcast before. Like, games are, I don't want to say games are too damn expensive, because games have always been about the same price. Like, games that were much smaller than what they are today were like $50 when they came out and stuff like that. Like a game on that you get on your PSP or on your Vita or whatever. Like, if you get Uncharted Golden Abyss, it is 10 times bigger than anything that you've ever made than that you would ever have gotten on like the PlayStation 1, and yet it is about the same cost as what it cost on the PlayStation. New game on the PlayStation 1 would have cost back then, which looked worse and probably didn't have as much going on for it. Maybe,
but it was also
there was technological restraint, but or constraint, but that doesn't change the fact that if you put those two games against each other, one and the other, and how much they cost when they came out, both of them at the same time, they were about the same price, and then add to that inflation, and you have two games that came out at the same price with, but technically the newer ones are cheaper, and they're still way bigger than what we ever had before. So it's like, it's not a problem that games are getting too expensive.
PlayStation 1, let's compare like Final Fantasy VII versus Uncharted Golden Abyss.
But what you're getting in Final Fantasy VII was a lot of the technological constraint too. Like Final Fantasy VII looks like ass for one, like it with stupid muffin hands and everything.
And it's still one of the best games like ever made.
And I would,
graphics don't matter.
I disagree with that too. But I'm not saying that Final Fantasy VII is not a better game than Uncharted: Golden Abyss. I'm just saying that there is some, but there has to be like some point where you have to like acknowledge that there is a sort of sense of scope that we are getting from for our money now that we weren't getting back then. And when you can kind of compare the two, it kind of gets a little bit more gray than just everything is too damn expensive all the time. Oh my God.
No, well, I would agree. I just think that if you're going to sell a game for $50 physical and you're saying that 4 gigabytes of your memory, your storage cost $20, then take that $20 storage off of your digital copy.
Yeah, I think like a lot of people when they value a game, they value it like they only think of it as like, oh, you're getting, you know, the experience. But there is a certain benefit to like having a physical copy. The problem that like Microsoft and Sony have is that they're thinking of it as like, you're getting this game easier. We're going to give you a convenience charge instead of like passing along the savings that they don't have to spend on manufacturing like actual copies of the game and selling them in stores and giving the retailers their cut and things like that. They should be passing that on and, you know, and making the digital versions of the game cheaper. If I don't care if a game costs $100, the digital version of the game should cost $80 or 75 or whatever. Yep. you know, it's like, it's not the price of the game, or like, this game isn't long enough, so it should be cheaper. It's got nothing to do with that. It's just the ratio needs to be correct.
Do you remember when they first announced the Vita games, digital games? Oh, guys, they're going to be 10% cheaper.
10% off.
And everyone's like, oh, that's amazing. They're going to be
10% $4 off most games and $5 off one.
Exactly. Then the reality hit. It's like, oh, they're only going to be $4 off. Is $4 really worth it? Because now you can't trade it in if you decide to get rid of it down the line. You can't. You don't get the box. You don't get the anything. The cartridge. You don't get anything.
You have to pay for the storage.
You have to pay for the storage. It actually adds up to be way more expensive. Money. Yeah, more expensive.
Right. And I honestly, like, when you look at it, when you look at a marketplace like Steam, and granted, like, Steam. I'm willing to argue that, like, some of the sales that Steam has, you know, isn't necessarily good, good for gaming. But in terms of, like, the PC market, I don't pirate games anymore. I used to pirate games all the time, but because they're cheaper and they're easier to get, and, like, I don't have to worry about going out to get a box copy. I always know where to go if I want to play one of those games that I own again.
It was Jeff Gerstmann who said, you have to be easier than free.
Mm-hmm.
And Steam is like, I have my credit card saved in there, so all I have to do is click buy and not worry about downloading a torrent.
The thing is, piracy in the PC market is almost the same, is a very similar problem to used game sales in the console market. And I think if they make it so that there's enough incentive for people to buy their games digitally. On like on the Vita or on the 360 or on the PS3, then they'll solve that used game problem. I mean, that's it, you know, because I'll be more likely to spend, you know, to spend $50 as opposed to $60, you know, for a game that's on consoles, you know.
Yeah, and, you know, moving forward, network infrastructure and, like, console hard drives are going to be big enough to where you could download full-ass games in a quick enough time to where it doesn't bother you. You have to wait like 2 hours.
My issue with the Steam comparison to, or maybe not my issue with it, but something that to kind of maybe take with a grain of salt, kind of keep this in perspective, is that Steam has been around for 3 years. It has a 3-year head start on modern consoles. Like, they've been doing this for 3 years longer. When Steam came out, everybody fucking hated it. It was not great. Like, they've been doing this for 3 years longer than all these guys.
Sony and Microsoft, they're not starting from scratch. They've watched Steam. They know what they're doing.
Yeah, I'm sure they have.
Steam as Steam is now didn't get started until near the end of 2007. Mostly in 2008 is when they started signing all their publisher deals.
Right.
I'm arguing for you. Like, it takes companies a long time to get running, but like Origin, they're like, the service isn't great, but it could be, but they're already signing a whole lot more publisher deals and having pretty good deals on a lot of games within a year of launch.
I would argue that Origin is pretty fucking horrible, but
I've never had any issues with it. So
I've had,
I don't know,
tons of issues with it. I fucking just, but that's a totally different discussion and one that really shouldn't. That I really don't want to have. Actually,
I just think when you're looking to come into a market, like when games on demand, you know, first came out, they needed to look at what Steam was doing and then copy the shit out of it. And I don't think that they did that. They thought, you know, hey, people want to buy games digitally, so let's gouge the fuck out of it. And as a result, I don't know anybody who buys games on demand games.
I think moving forward, both Microsoft and Sony are going to give publishers a little bit more control in their marketplaces. Otherwise, you know, the inevitable digital-only future is coming. And if you're not already trying to transition people, like, you're screwing yourself.
Well, I think, and the other thing too, is that, you know, Microsoft and Sony probably think that because they're selling Xbox games, and the only digital marketplace you've got to buy an Xbox game is the Xbox Live marketplace. They probably think, you know, we've got a monopoly on it. We can charge what we want. But I mean, you know, all they're going to do is just drive people away.
Yeah. Welcome to capitalism, everybody.
Yeah.
Capitalism for the win. Well, fantastic conversation today, gentlemen.
Mm-hmm.
I'm cutting the whole episode.
Yeah, good.
Yeah, just can you just put in the part where we talk about dicks?
I'm gonna be posting this episode anyways, so at least we'll get the audio.
You mean the dickisode?
The dickisode. Oh, you watched.
Oh God! I hope I'm gonna send you my
dick
audio.
Explode.
Hey.
Okay. I want to thank you guys for joining the little group today. A lovely little Wednesday evening full of gamer chatter about games and video games and stuff.
Dally, where can we find you on Twitter?
You can find me at Coolrats, Kewlrats, or just look on the site. Steven, where can we find you?
At Steven Strum on Twitter.
How about you, Mike Bachman?
You should not be able to if, you know, I've done my job correctly.
Oh,
no,
that's
right,
because you are in the protective services.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, so you did witness that hitman then, right? Right, like, what was his name?
Witness, I participated. No, okay. You can find me at the Mike Bachman, and you can find my podcast at Fistful of Pixels.
Oh, that's right. And you can get on that shit.
And you can find where the bodies are buried behind Mike's backyard.
At behind Mike's backyard.
At behind Mike's backyard. Steven, where can we find Eric?
We can find Eric at LMM.
Nope, wrong. I changed my name to at Steven Strom with a U.
Steven Storm.
That's what I've been using as my new user ID on like everything now is Steve Storm. So if you want to find me on something if you want to find me on Hero Academy, I am Steve Storm.
You know, every time that comes up, I keep wanting to think to read it as Sue Storm from the Fantastic Four.
Really? Fantastic Four?
Yeah.
You joke.
I don't even get like Johnny Storm.
No,
I don't get a male name.
Sue Storm.
Because the alliteration isn't everything, Dally. I know that English degree like really just wants to push out of you like a fucking xenomorph, but you gotta fight it. Gotta fight it.
Speaking of xenomorphs, goddamn, that Prometheus trailer looks good.
Don't tell me anything about it.
There's
I confused aliens. Xenomorphs with animorphs just now. I want you to know that.
And Animaniacs. Mm. That would be freaking
remember Vegemorphs,
awesome.
Everybody?
Yeah, VeggieTales.
Oh, VeggieMorphs.
You can find
there has never, never, never been a show like VeggieTales.
No, there has not been a show like VeggieTales. Too cute. They're bananas and pajamas. No, that's bananas and pajamas, actually.
Dude, I fucking love bananas.
No, you did not.
I do. Yeah, I love that show.
You're
I used
so
to watch
stupid.
It all the time.
Did you follow it up with Teletubbies?
No, dude, I'm not gay.
God,
you gotta cut that. I don't think I can.
I'm editing it, so no cutting is gonna happen.
No,
this is the No Holds Bar podcast. Don't worry, Eric is already way more homophobic than you.
Oh, so you know what? I tried using Daly's recording last week, and he cut off before Steven did his Wookie call, so we didn't get a Wookie call last week.
Oh, that's a shame.
That's so bad, terrible. I can't think of anything worse that could have ever happened.
12-week run.
Dally, did you do that on purpose? Dally?
He died.
Dally.
Oh, sorry, I muted myself.
Oh, Dally.
Dally's off eating cereal.
One of us.
Dally, do you hear me? No, I did. I did by accident, actually.
Okay. I was trying to change it up for season four. So if you listeners, if you want something else at the end of the podcast to like fucking wake you up in the middle of the night, you comment on this episode. And if anybody actually comments, I will, whatever one gets the most votes, I will change it to that.
Can you explain that to me again? Cause I don't feel like I got it.
the first unknown time.
One person to comment.
If people comment on this episode with like a suggestion for something else for me to do at the end of every episode, and it's not super offensive or basically just not super offensive,
good luck.
It gets like more than one comment, or if everything only gets one comment, I'll pick whichever one was I like better. I'll change it because like the Wookiee call, it's getting kind of getting kind of loud. I got other people living in this building with me and stuff like that. And I feel bad.
Yeah,
sometimes.
But they can't understand you anyways.
Okay, with that note, you can find us at www.sidequesting.com. Please visit the website and rate us. Subscribe and rate us on iTunes if you're listening to this through the website. That would be so helpful. Signing off again. We love you guys. Bye-bye.
Later, bros.
Steven.
Disempowered, the scattering flock dances in a fever at the castle rock. Dust devil cypress, the ripening fruit, ascending quick into the author's bathroom.
This game is right.
Trials is getting crazy reviews like, this game is blue buttons, I want chicken. Fingers.
I smell purple.
Dirty dancing. I smell purple.
Herbal.
Would you like to buy some herbal tea on the moon? With Plaid. That's the review score.
You know what? If you guys had been talking, you know what I've been playing is Asura's Wrath, and if you guys had been describing Asura's Wrath, I would have totally believed everything you just said.